The first reading is Ephesians 5, verse 19. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns and spirit songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And Ezekiel 36, verse 26 to 27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws.
Amen. Father, bless the reading of your precious word. And it seems so long ago since we did the series. I haven't dropped it. We just wanted to pick the Bible Society one up. And again, they're on the internet again. So they're all on the internet again. You go to where I've just said, except this time it won't be the Bible Society. It'll be the Autonomy of Worship. And then you can go down from there to suit. And it does just concern me. It just concerned me that we need to be, I think, a bit like Matt Redman's pastor. Matt Redman's pastor obviously had a great worship leader, but he felt that the church were not worshiping God. And, you know, Simon and I were praying in the back room. And said to Simon, you're not here to perform this morning. You're here just to come and give your talent to God. And don't worry, just come and give your talent to God. And he has. Come and give his talent to God. You know, he's not here to play every single note in the correct order, as we've heard before from somewhere. But he's here to give his God his talent. In other words, he said, I've come to give God my worship. And it'd be pretty daunting standing here, seriously, you know, when the responsibility of leading the worship. And we want to give God our worship, not only what we do, in our own personal lives and whatever gifting God has given us. You hear what I'm saying? And God gives us different gifts through the seasons. And there are different times to everything. There is a season. You know, and Jane last year, you know, a couple of years ago, she was a deaconess. And then she decided there was a season in which she needed to go on to aspire. And that one day that season will end and something else will happen. That's her worship. That's worship. But there's something that God wants us to do when we come together. And he was concerned that it wasn't happening. And so we did this in series one, where Matt Redman was actually asked and his musicians to sit there and not play. And for a few weeks, they didn't. They just sat there. But Matt Redman still came to church and he sat there and he listened to his minister. And he was so affected by what he heard that one Sunday afternoon in his bedroom, God gave him one of the greatest songs we probably have ever heard. And of course, that's the song that Matt Redman wrote about the time he was asked just to sit in the congregation while the minister explained what he felt true worship was. And Matt Redman came up with this. Worship from the heart, Jeremy Watts said this, worship from the heart is not about the newest, latest, greatest or hottest song on the charts. It's not about the oldest, most obscure and well-known song. In fact, true worship is not about a song, it's about a
song.
It's about a song. So the first thing you need to understand, when you come through these doors, you have not come to sing some songs, you've come to give something to a son who nailed himself upon a tree. This is not about singing from quarter to 11 to quarter past 11. It's about singing, yes, but it's about singing to a son. Thank you for the cross. Jesus, my Redeemer, he let us in. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your son. Wonderful. Simon led us this morning. We are carried away. It's about a song. It's never been about a song. It's always about a son. It's about bringing to that son, no, my soul. And my soul is my inner emotions. My soul is what drives my mind and my heart and my emotions. Your soul drives all that. And God breathed into man a living being, into his soul a living being. Your soul is a living thing. That he deserves my life and my all. Because Matt Redman, having wrote this wonderful song, I'll give you more than a song, because a song is not what you desire. And coming back to the heart of worship. Coming back to the heart of worship. You see, I get a bit tired when I'm watching Match of the Day. Not that I get tired of watching Match of the Day, please. But I get tired when I see someone score a goal. They never run as fast as after they scored the goal. I wish they'd run as fast while they were playing. But every time they score a goal, they seem to have some energy and are able to go around the field 16 times. And they're doing this. You're going to have to watch this now, Don. But never mind. And then the next week, they're asking for a transfer and they want to be out of the club. No, seriously, have you noticed? It means nothing. I'm sorry. To some people, it means nothing. Don't get carried away here. But, and you know, a worship can be like that. But a worship can be like that. Does it come from here? Is it expressing a heart of worship? Because that's what they're supposed to be saying. They're supposed to be saying, I love the club. I give this club my heart and my soul and my heart. I want to tell you, friend, when we walk through these doors on a Sunday morning, it's great to have a bit of chat with each other. And after the service, it's even better to chat, because I hate people just rushing straight out. I love it when people sit and talk and have fellowship, because this is the only time we get together, isn't it? Sunday morning is probably the best time we all get together. And it's nice to go and talk to people. Hopefully we'll go and talk to this lady. I was going to say little lady, but talk to this lady. Okay, it's really good to have fellowship. But during the service, when that first chord is done, or we're having that time, we need to have some attention to what we're doing. Matt Redmond's pastor was thinking, do you know, we're not really paying attention to the heart of worship. And Matt Redmond wrote that song. And then Matt Redmond took that song to his pastor, and his pastor said, well, Matt, can I ask you to do something with this song? He said, what's that, pastor? Could you change some words? This is Matt Redmond. But Matt Redmond's got such a heart for God. He said, well, what words would you like me to change? And he said, so we can all sing it. Because Matt Redmond originally wrote it for him. And he said, could you put the words to that? We can all sing it. But you see, Matt Redmond's heart's for Jesus. And he graciously said,
yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Graciously said yes. But what Matt Redmond said most of all was, he said, I could never go into a studio again and just have this as a session. In other words, every time I go into the session now to do some more music, this is what must happen. Every time I'm trying to create more of a church atmosphere. In other words, if you come into my music studio, you need to be prepared that I'm actually calling this my church. And every song that I'm going to lay down now is a song of worship. I'm not coming down to lay down 10 tracks to create for my new album. I want that studio to be an atmosphere of worship. You see, he says this, we're always trying to create more of a church atmosphere in the studio rather than just technical musicians gathering together. Something happens, says Matt Redmond, when the people of God gather together and play out of what? The praises of God. And you know something? He's not telling you anything new, because David, King David, did this in Psalm 150. He's only copying David, King David. David said, I was glad. I was glad when they said to me, it's Sunday, it's church time. That's what David was saying, that's the new paraphrase. I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. David said, I get excited when I go to church. My face is not like a pancake. My face is smiling. I'm a smiler. I'm joy coming into worship Jesus. And we created that atmosphere. We had a bit of fun with Julie this morning about the dancing, but in many senses, seriously, many senses, you know, we shouldn't just dance because of dancing's sake, but if we feel the joy of God and the expression of God, then we should do as God leads us and God expresses us. Because if we do it like that, it will be sensible and it will be sensitive to the Spirit. Do you hear what I'm saying? But we need to understand that when we walk through that door and we shake Linda's hand, that we have come into the house of God, not to sing songs, but to sing to a son. And that's why you should not be disruptive in the meetings. The meetings should be fully attended to what God has got to say. Our expression of worship, our expression, and I love it. So when you come through the doors next Sunday morning, it's going to be Easter Sunday. And if you can't get excited about Easter Sunday, I go home for you. Because I'm probably going to sing a couple of songs next week, solos. That will be worth the price of admission. Go and tell your friends. Julie Logorius is here. Is that whatever you call him? But no, we're not. We're going to have a great time of worship. But I'm going to have a great time Good Friday. From 10 o'clock to 11, we start at 10 and we finish at 11. You see, it's not about how many of us are here this morning. It's about how many of us are going to bring something this morning. So, Ephesians 5:19, Rob, please. It says, speak to one another. Speak to who? The river, it's up for Danielle. Danielle's got to speak to someone. Right? If someone's got to speak to Danielle, please speak to her. Just because she looks ferocious does not mean to say she is ferocious. You see, the atmosphere that Paul was saying is, don't come to church thinking it's about me. Paul says, even when you're worshipping God, you're worshipping God for someone else. Speak to one another. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs from the Holy Spirit. In other words, your worship should be so infectious it makes me feel, wow, I want to worship God like that. Have you ever been in a place where people are really, you think, whoa, I wish I could. Do you know what I'm saying? You know it's not exuberance, you know it's the Spirit of God. You know it's the Spirit of God moving. You hear what I'm saying? Because it's so infectious that you are actually encouraged. You're actually engaging into what's going on. You see, the word speak is important. Paul is talking about the lyrics of the song, not the musical style. It doesn't matter whether it's fast, medium, or slow. Paul is saying, think about the lyrics of the song that we are singing. And then Paul adds this message. Let us sing to one another. And there are three ways we can do that. There are three ways we can do that, which I wanted to learn this morning. So perhaps from next week, we may be able to come to church and bring. Because I don't know about you, but I love to hear people, other people pray. I love to hear somebody read. I love it when people come out for prayer. I just love it because it means that you're either engaging with God and you feel like God wants you to pray, or you're just engaging with God. And Paul, you see, didn't have a New Testament because he wrote it. So he didn't have it. So he had an Old Testament. So he brought this up in Psalm 150, Robert. He said, listen, there are three things you can do as you come in that will worship God. One is you can sing to one another in poems. In other words, if you want to read something from the scriptures, it might just edify you. How many times have you been and someone has read something in your scriptures, a verse of scripture, and you just think, oh, wow, that verse of scripture really, really meant something. I had a girl come in on New Year's Day. And when I left, she pulled me to one side. She just said, I wasn't going to come this morning, but I felt God saying, come to church. She said, when I did come to church, wow, what you were saying in the readings and everything, she said, it was what God had been speaking to me during the week. So you see, you can bless me just by opening your Bible and reading. Or you might want to read a poem. There are some wonderful poems, Christian poems. Poems are nice to read. It's poems that really edify you. I mean, who's heard of the Footprints? See, most of you have heard of the Footprints, haven't you? Exactly. And what I'm saying is, if you brought a poem, providing your notes, right? Who knows whether that's not going to minister something? I'm not talking about Humpty Dumpty sat in a wall, mind you. I'm talking about something that will minister to us. But you can do it, says Paul, in the form of a poem. Because they used to read the Bible in the Old Testament days. Do you remember that's how Jesus got a platform? If you remember the New Testament, it said they opened up the book and Jesus stood up and began to read the scriptures. And then he said this, today this word's come true. And that, of course, set everybody up in a woo! But up to then, he was okay. But in other words, he came up to read the scriptures. He didn't come out to sing a solo. He came out to read the scriptures. Would he edify those people if they bought into words? Because today, he said, that scripture is fulfilled. Listen, the second way you can do it is by singing hymns like How Great Thou Art. You see, when you sing hymns like How Great Thou Art, it's not about you. Who's it about? So that's praise. Praise is saying, Father, thank you, I've had a wonderful day today. Father, thank you, Lord, I've had a lousy day today, but you've got me through it. That's praise. Do you hear what I'm saying? Thank you, God, for my food, my clothes. I never, never, would never, never go at the end of the day without thanking God for my food. Because I know there's little of we children in Africa who won't have been fed. In all seriousness. I thank God I've got a house because I can go to Birmingham now and there'll be somebody lying in a shop doorway. In fact, I've just got to warn you. I'm thankful for God because, you know, I do have a little bit of money. And as my wife says, you know, we have things that some people don't have. We can't go on a holiday. And she loves her holidays. But it cost me a fortune. You've no idea. You've no idea. I tell you what, I'm having a busker. Down the street, seriously. I mean, they're just ridiculous about holidays. And she says, we've been married for 25 years. I get this every day, by the way. As if I'm going to... We've been married 25 years, Edward. And it don't seem like a day too long. I'm singing that now, okay. But what I'm saying is, and then she says, she's saying, we must do something extra special. I'm saying, well, go to Tesco's and buy an extra special cake then. You can buy them extra special cakes, can't you? No, she doesn't. I'm taking her to the Stadium of Light. But in all seriousness, in other words, she's saying, seriously, 25 years is something worth celebrating. Do you hear what she's saying? It's something worth celebrating. Friends, today you have eternal life. And if that's not worth celebrating, I haven't got a Scooby-Doo what is. And so one way is to do poems or the reading of the scriptures. The second way you can come in on a Sunday morning is as you're singing, praising God how great thou art. All I'm saying is it's songs that's expressing to God how wonderful he is. And as you're singing them, say it in your heart, Father, this is for you. This is for you, Father. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God to me, how great thou art. How great that one. One of our favourites here is blessing and honour, isn't it? Can you see God gets excited when we praise him and worship? And we can all do it. And there's something special when we come together. And the third thing is singing songs of thankfulness. One is praise, the other one is thankfulness. Amazing grace, how the man who wrote that said he woke up most nights. As he woke up from his dream last night, he said, I can see all those buried in the depth of the ocean, which I had sent to that day. Thousands upon thousands. He was a slave trader. Chained them in the most horrible conditions. Half of them never got to the other side. Young and old. And then he met Jesus. And he penned a song which I believe will be immortalized forever. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. It was a Christian experience from him. And he met a man called Lord Wilberforce. And Lord Wilberforce said to him, listen, I'm keep trying. But he said, I can't get this slavery bill through. John Newton said, oh, you cannot give up. I'm seeing these people, he said, underneath that water, you cannot give up. And he encouraged him. And I don't know whether this bit is true, I believe it is that the way he got the bill passed was they like to go horse racing, the politicians. So Lord Wilberforce, from what I hear, gave a free ticket to the race course. So they all went to the race course, then he called a meeting in Parliament, the few that was left, he voted it through. I'm not sure whether that's true or not, but the bill got voted through. But you see, John Newton had experienced something called amazing grace. Have you? Has God taken you somewhere? Have you experienced his goodness? That's what Peter said. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Peter read a wonderful thing out this morning. Let not your hearts be troubled. Because I'm bringing a place for you. And one day I'm coming back for you. Is that not going to be an experience worth waiting for? When Jesus blows that trumpet and the dead in Christ shall rise and we go with him to that home that he's prepared. We've got some experiences to come that are going to blow our minds. So there are three things we can do next week. We can read. We can sing those songs, particularly to God, how great you are. And say, Father, this is you. Or we can actually stand up and maybe pray, say, Lord, I am so grateful this morning. or the wondrous experience I've had of salvation, or your goodness this week and benefits, or whatever it is. There are ways to worship God. And that when we do these things, it completes. And finally, it reminds us, the next slide, please. Let's say that together.
Let
them
praise the Lord.
Oh, let's do it with a bit of excitement this time. You talk about a monologue. Dear me. Let everything that has breath
praise the Lord.
Say it again.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Nice to see you, Dennis, mate. It is Dennis, isn't it? I'm on fire. Next one, please. New Testament equivalent to what we've done is this. Let's say this verse together. Love the Lord your God
with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength.
Now the heart, next slide, please, because I want to quickly now conclude. The heart is actually often translated mind in the New Testament. In the Greek, it's actually translated mind as well as heart. And since the Hebrews had no separate word for mind, the word heart often served to represent the seat of the intellect. The key to the whole mind is in where? So if everything is praising God from the mind, whatever captures the mind, it's true, isn't it?
Yes.
Whatever captures the mind, captures the mind. So, we've just read that verse. So, love the Lord your God with all your mind is another translation in the Hebrew, because it has no separate word. Both Testaments see the heart figuratively as the center and the personality of the spiritual life. This is what your heart is. It's the seat of emotions, of your will, of your moral conscious decision. So if you come next week with a moral conscious decision to worship God in those three things that we've been taken, you're doing it from your heart. But if you come in there and it's just, we're going to be singing a song, that's not going to help God at all, because that's not worship. It's not singing a song, it's singing to a son. And that's just really, for those of you who like the Strong's Dictionary, one of the great books, if you want to know the real word, that's what it means. It suggests the mind is a faculty of understanding, of feelings, of desiring. In other words, it's a way of thinking and feeling. And our mind affects everything that we do, doesn't it? Affects our feelings, isn't it? Doesn't it? It affects. And if it affects our feelings, our emotions come in to kick in, don't we? Wake up in the morning sometimes and I think, Avril will say, the alarm's gone off, and I'm thinking, God, I'll throw you through the window.
You mean the alarm?
Sorry?
You mean the alarm?
No, not Avril, no! No! I couldn't pick her up! Sorry! No, I didn't mean that at all! No! Praise the Lord, oh my soul. I'm getting out of it now, you see. No, of course not, and I'm sure I've known Avril, switch it off, and we're going to have an extra couple of minutes. Haven't you, though? And then it's 30 minutes has gone by. Ever done it?
Yeah.
And then you know, and then she hasn't showered. And you haven't done your links? I've got the chocolate one. But there's nobody grab my hand to bite my fingers, by the way. So I think it's a bad advert. Supposed to spray it on, and then you lot are supposed to run after me. Don't work. But no, seriously, if we relied on our feelings, we are in big trouble. We rely on the fact that God has entered our life and we experience conversion. I'm not saying that we've experienced conversion, that we saw pictures, but our lives have just been changed. Yeah. I used to do this, I don't do that now. And I don't care if it's just a small step. It's a change. Isn't it? It's a change. That's an experience, brothers and sisters, of God's amazing grace. Of those feelings. That's why a journal is so important. So when you're feeling terrible, get your journal out and remind yourself of the time that God broke through into your life. It takes you out of depression. I think we're almost finished, Jonathan, but can we have the next one on? I love this man. He's a great man of God. Wonderful man of God, this. And when this faculty is renewed by the Holy Spirit, this is what he says. The whole mindset changes from the fearful negativism of the carnal mind to the vibrant positive thinking of the quickened. Isn't that what we want? Vibrant, dynamic worship word, because we have transformed into those things we've just been talking about with our mind. So we've got a mindset when we walk through these doors. I'm bringing you more than a song, God, today. As Matt Redman said, bringing in much more than that. And when the early bird worship song is being played, I'm going to quiet myself down. I'm going to get ready to worship. I'm going to be like David. I'm going to get excited about being in the house of God. And I'm going to bring those three things. I'm reading, as you said, or expressing praise for how great he is, or just thanking for the experience in some of the songs that we sing. So it's all right to sing songs that just say thank you to God, because it's expressing what God has done for us. I get a bit worried when the songs are just about us. I get concerned when the songs are just about us. Because I haven't come to sing about me. I do that every morning when I wake up. The first thing I do is I look in the mirror and just say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? You know, and it just responds back. You're so vain. Yeah. Right. Creating me a new man. Creating me a new tongue. Seriously. And that's what this series is about. And I just thought, seriously, forgive me off last week, I just thought I needed to recap that this morning. There are additional notes, by the way, which you haven't heard. There are additional notes of Linda at the back, if you want. Let's say that together as we finish. Create
me a new heart.